Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Yeah, you already did that once. Today, getting prodded by that woman.
Once?
That I saw. Mm. Yeah. So, where to begin? Where to begin in the world of professional wrestling? You know what's on Monday?
No.
Monday, you know what the date is on Monday?
July 7th?
No. That was yesterday.
14th.
Uh-huh. It's 7-14-14.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of talk today about 7-14-14.
Yes, because thing who I didn't even know was on Twitter said out a tweet that said 7-14-14.
Yes.
So that's when he's re-signing with TNA?
I hope so. Because he sucks dick. But no, it has the announcement has absolutely nothing to do with WWE. We don't know what the announcement is. But
well,
it has absolutely
we don't
nothing.
Think it does. We don't know for sure.
Well, no, we don't. But we're pretty sure. We're pretty sure that it does not. So it does not have anything to do with the World Wrestling Federation. So anyway, just wanted to shout that out there, dispel that rumor, because that was the topical topic. Of the topical day.
Are you going to close that door?
I am going to close
that door. We're going to kill him.
I know. But
well, it's a good thing I bought that big doll. Though, but I'd like to mention, it's almost exactly the same size. It's almost the exact same as the one that almost killed me.
It is. And there's
right
the one
there beside.
And the one that killed you is still right there.
Are you going to get that one bronzed?
Forever. It's going to be your groomsman gift.
Someday I hope to have my ashes spread from that.
Yes. It's a double gulp, won't we?
Oh, fuck off. All right, so what are we talking about?
Let's talk about Santino Marella.
Oh, why?
Because he retired.
Did he?
He did. Did a house show in Toronto.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's the way he wanted to go out in his home city,
mm-hmm.
do a house show. He's hurt, and he set up this Battleground Martial Arts Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Here he's doing well. Going and run that, and, you know.
The person he was paired with stole an iPod case.
Yeah.
So,
iPod case, whatever. iPod. I think it was an iPod.
Was it?
Case.
No.
$6 billion.
Mm-hmm. $6 billion. That's like a whole, like, year's worth of WWE revenue.
Profits, you mean?
No revenue.
Oh, okay.
Their expenses are $8 billion. But it's okay, because they can continue with that loss for 6 billion years.
What do you consider to be the career highlight for Santino?
Glamorella.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously, that was the highlight to me. That was when Santino was the most entertaining, was around that SummerSlam, when he was going to break the Honky Tonk Man's streak. Mm-hmm. Glamorella, that did it for me. I think I know what your career highlight is. But go ahead and tell us.
I mean, obviously the Elimination Chamber.
Yes. Because I remember after that Elimination Chamber, you were like, not convinced, but you had so many ways that you could resurrect Santino's career from that.
Yeah. And then he lost to Daniel Bryan, I think, in like the next week or something like that on TV. All over.
Yes.
But I mean, that night, he made the crowd believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. I mean, the thing about Santino is that he was a guy who was a very good comedic presence, who often, despite he couldn't always elevate the shitty material, but sometimes he could.
There was a time where he was, though, consistently elevating their shitty material.
Exactly.
Basically everything he said, he's all like Bo Dallas, and right now,
yeah.
Basically everything Bo Dallas to me does is funny.
Yes,
and Santino was that way, is that I would tune in to see Santino because he was going to entertain me.
Exactly. So, I mean, he was a guy who, he has a good technical background. As I say, he's teaching martial arts. I mean, he's legitimately, I guess, if you roll with him on the ground, he's a very serious guy. He's a very serious threat. Like, he's very deadly down there. So
down where?
Down there. So, I mean, that's, but he didn't really understand the psychology of storytelling in the ring. He understood how to do his act and be funny even within his act.
Yeah.
You know, within the ring, but the psychology of like being a wrestler and telling the story, that part of it was never really his strength. But
Jim Cornette disagrees with that.
No, he doesn't. But that's kind of, so that's kind of his...
What was his gimmick? He was a Russian shooter.
That was under Paul Heyman.
Was it down there? That's where it was. He was under Paul Heyman, yeah. But then he
Paul
was...
Paul Heyman made him look like a kid.
Yeah, and he was in the crowd for one of the Boogeyman segments.
Yes.
And laughed.
But this was under Jim Cornette, yeah.
Yes, and laughed his ass off at the absurdity of the Boogeyman. How dare
so
he?
So Jim Cornette yelled at him, and then when he started laughing at Cornette, he slapped him.
Yes, berated him and slapped him.
And so Cornette got fired for that.
One of the things, yeah, I don't know if that was a straw that broke the camel's back.
It was.
That was like the third in a row.
Yeah.
In a short thing of Jim Cornette.
He's a little high strung.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit
high strung. So I mean, the thing about it is that Santino. I mean, his other highlight obviously would be the first night coming down. You know, winning the Finnish Continental title in Italy.
In Italy from
Umaga.
Umaga.
So, I mean, probably if you were to ask him, I'm guessing that would be what he would say would be the highlight. But for me, it was the Elimination Chamber. Like I say, there was a point where for a few seconds you thought, fuck, he's going to win this.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty incredible thing.
I remember they...
And Daniel Bryan was great, too, because when he got down to him and Daniel Bryan turned around and saw him, because you remember, I think he even got in there like as a fluke last minute thing. Like, you know, because he was Santino Marella. But Daniel Bryan turned around and looked at him and laughed like, that's all who's left? Oh, cakewalk.
Yeah.
And then he almost got beat. And that's how good Daniel Bryan is, too.
Yeah.
And really, really made it seem legit.
And Santino also the second last man in that Royal Rumble that Alberto won, where it kind of at some point I went like, what the fuck?
He was a real lovable underdog. But he was because he was such a good comedy character, they didn't play that up probably as much as they could have. I think the other thing I think of, I mean, there's two other things that I think of that are highlights for him. The dating segment with Ron Simmons. Damn, everything he did rhymed with damn.
Oh yes,
and Santino was out there, and it was, I can't remember who the third. I think it was Hacksaw.
I think so. Yeah, Hacksaw. Yeah.
That and. One time when he came out, and it was everybody was in the ring, and it was Cena, and he did this rap.
He did the rap.
He was still a heel.
When Shawn Michaels came back.
Yes. He was still a heel, and he did this rap, but it was like...
And Lillian Garcia's peeing herself in the corner.
Oh, yeah. So good. He was a heel, getting a few boos, but that was kind of where it went. That was the night where I think they went, oh, we can't have him as a heel anymore. The crowd likes him too much and he's too funny.
Yeah,
Shortly afterwards they turned him. So that's Santino, and I'm sure good for him to retire in Toronto where he wanted to.
And you think of it, I mean, Santino had about a 7-year run?
Yeah, something like that.
Like, Jesus 7-8 Christ.
Years. Yeah, no, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good run in this day and age.
That's pretty good.
And if it wasn't for his neck injuries, he'd still be there. That's the only reason they got rid of him. So what does this mean for Emma, if anything?
Nothing. That's what I said. The best. That's actually another great thing for Emma is that Emma needs to get away from that and kind of.
Well, she is a comedy character, but she doesn't need to be somebody else's comedy gimmick. She could be her own.
But she doesn't need to be that comedy gimmick. That comedy gimmick got her noticed and got her put up, I think, a little bit more. But I don't know. I think now you could. You know, she's at that crossroads where.
Can you do anything else?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you can. Yeah. I think at this point,
I mean, that's what they're saying to her. Can you do anything else?
And oh, I see. Yeah, what else you got? Yeah, she needs to prove she's got something else to be able to give at this point, so she just doesn't end up like another, you know, like, I mean, she's better than Oksana, but in that Oksana role, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, what kind of
food? She's a much better wrestler than Oksana.
But I mean, like, not even close. The thing with Emma in the back burner at this point, I mean, when you look at it, you right now have Paige and AJ, mm-hmm. right, that they're simmering.
Yeah.
You've got the Funkadactyls, the Funka Powers Explode.
Yeah.
Right? You've got Bella and Stephanie.
And that's awful, by the way, the Funkadactyls exploding. Because Cameron is so fucking awful. TheBomb.com? She's terrible.
TheBomb.com. But Naomi is good.
Naomi's pretty good.
And that gets her away there. And
it'll be good for her, yeah.
And I think it'll
be
good.
The music doesn't go away.
Yeah, I wonder who gets to keep the music. I think Naomi keeps the music.
I hope so.
Because I think you're going to get Cameron's going to get a bomb.com music, right?
Like, she's not the worst on the roster. Because, I mean, on SmackDown, they had AJ versus Eva Marie. And I'm watching this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally watching it to see. I mean, you could tell they. I mean, it probably went a minute and a half. And I'd say they probably edited at least a minute and a half out of it.
Nice.
And, like, but she is the worst professional wrestler in the WWE. You know what I mean? Like, she is the worst. The idea you get rid of Emma
and
this
and
bitch,
John Cena is in this company.
That's yeah, I know. She is terrible.
But and you
and like I say, I mean, and I mean, at least on Total Divas, she seems to be a clue. Like she's bitchy. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's like Summer Rae seems like she's bitchy because that's the gimmick. But Eva seems like she's actually just bitchy.
Yeah.
So I mean. I don't know. I guess she's hot.
But speaking of Summer, and you've got Summer and Layla.
Yeah.
You have four Divas programs on right now.
Three.
Four. You got the Funkadactyls Explode.
Yeah.
You've got Paige and AJ.
Yeah.
You've got the Summer Rae and Layla. Yeah. And you've got Stefani and the Bella.
And Brie. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brie / Nikki.
I forgot about that one.
Because it'll be Nikki and Steph at SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe,
right?
I guess. Yeah.
That's the plan right now. Yeah. Is that. So, I mean, you have four Divas programs going on right now. So when we're talking about, you know, where does Emma go? To the back burner, because, like...
Well, thing is, though, of those, we talk about those eight performers, probably three of them really shouldn't be there because they're not good.
Right.
She's better than at least three of those
people. Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying, while they're going on...
Yeah, three or four.
They're not going to have... They are very unlikely to have a fifth Divas program right now.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, that... But, I mean, when I spelt that out, I'm going like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's like... You literally could probably have a Divas pay-per-view at this point with those programs. Not that... Or a show. You know, if you wanted to...
If you wanted to turn Superstars or Main Event into an all-Divas show, at least for a week, as an experiment, I guess you could. And that's what SmackDown was originally going to be, remember?
Yes, that's right.
It's an all-Divas show.
Oh, yes.
And somebody's like, that's not a good idea.
And that was
not a good idea.
That would not be a very good idea. I would like to have a two-hour Sable television program. Ah, fuck. But yeah, that's...
Don't.
That just boggles my mind that there's that many.
Yeah, no. Until you mention it, I mean, I keep on forgetting about Nikki and Steph, even though I mean,
yeah, because they did it
weeks ago.
One hand tied behind your back.
Yeah, that's right. You do have Alicia Fox there, who's kind of just hanging around too. So.
That's four and a half. Yeah, because she's got a gimmick at least.
She's got
right?
a gimmick at least.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could have Alicia Fox versus
Emma. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Do you know?
But yeah, like I say, at least three of these girls need to go.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
pretty
what?
Bad. I don't want to watch them.
I
don't want to watch Cameron. I don't want to watch Layla at this point. Is
I think. I mean, what's coming up here? When does the?
And
when
I
does the new
at me.
When does a new season of Total Divas start? Probably, and you know, if it's August, September.
No idea.
And well, I mean, it's probably around there, right? And maybe October, but
well, Rosa Mendez is added.
Exactly,
right?
That's
so
where I was going. Now you got to have Rosa Mendez added into this mix somehow. So
you know what? It's too bad that this whole and that's we forgot all about Natalia. We haven't even mentioned Natty, the most talented person on the roster. I don't mean. Most talented diva. Most talented person on the roster, arguably.
Right.
You know? So we haven't even mentioned her. And then you know, how long before Charlie Flair comes up? And that guy, when he comes up into the Divas division, is going to be...
He's going to set the Divas division.
It's
going to
be very interesting.
Fire.
They're going to use him.
Well, and how quickly do they use him? I mean,
I get the feeling that it's not that far away.
Because it's obvious to me that his dad isn't going to... go with The Miz.
No, not going with The Miz,
with
right?
this Hollywood
and
Miz character.
Now, that doesn't mean that it couldn't be somebody like, I don't know, Ziggler, right? I mean, that's what Flair wants to go with.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, well, that's who he wants. So they still, for whatever reason, they aren't going to listen. Yeah. You know, Ziggler's, it's, forget about it. But who else do you put him with, right? I mean,
Ziggler, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know that Charlie being with him, being with Rick is a good idea. I think Charlie's,
I don't know.
He might be overshadowed. Like, you think, oh, he's going to get the rub from his dad. But he might be overshadowed, and the whole Divas division might be overshadowed.
Well, but you got to remember, I mean, we're talking about he might get the rub from his dad. I mean, like, you got to remember, his dad is Ric Flair,
yeah,
and not Grizzly Smith.
That's Rockin' Robin.
Coot, diddly, deet, deet, diddly. But, I mean, I don't know.
Everybody just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it. Just Google Jake the Snake Roberts' father is a child molester. Just Google it. Google it. But I think Flair, Charlotte, Charlie, there, he could stay down a little bit longer.
Oh, he still needs to work. He's improved, but he still needs a lot of work. I mean, the thing is, as great as he was, that's because how great a athlete he was, and Natalya got that match out of him.
Yeah.
But that was all Natty, right?
Yeah.
You can do that. Sure, you can do that on the big stage. Sure, you could. But what happens when he has to work with Eva Marie?
Well, I mean, but how much is Hunter involved in this, and how much is Charlie protected?
I know.
Because we just went through. I mean, you could have him work with Emma. Mm-hmm. You could have him work with the Funkadactyl, not the Bomb.com, Naomi.
The there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you did Natty, obviously.
Yeah.
That match. You know, and
I mean, Bree's improved, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not to that level. I
don't think Layla's to that level either.
No, I would look at those three: Emma, Trinity. Is that her name?
And
Natty, and you could go months with that.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, if you do a couple months here, a couple months.
The other thing is, I think it's an advantage, but I mean, she's not attractive. Obviously, he's an ugly looking woman. So Charlie's, you know, I mean,
yeah, but
it's probably kind of good. Like, I suppose he's not, you know,
they're doing her up though.
They are doing.
Like, if you see that, we watched that NXT special and they showed the picture of her coming into now.
Yeah, yeah, they really. She
really got a makeover big time.
Charlie, he's looking better.
Yeah,
you know, I'm more likely to fuck Charlie today. It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. More likely.
Yeah,
but
no, I mean, I think it's an advantage to have somebody who doesn't look the same. But we've seen in the past, like, you know, I mean, ODB was down there; they just wouldn't bring her up only because she didn't look like what
now,
they wanted.
Can you put Ric Flair with a heel at this point, though?
No,
like I didn't think. And
Ric Flair thinks you can, but Ric Flair's God bless him, a fucking moron.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's. Yeah, I just, because I mean the heel to me, the way to do the heel is that when they want to get rid of Stardust,
mm-hmm.
right, and the turn, but it doesn't look like they're going to go that route.
I don't think they're going that way.
They're
in a
keeping
long time.
Them, yeah, they're keeping them the freaks, right?
Right now, what they're doing is they haven't even announced their name. The SmackDown promo, they did the exact same thing, just a promo on SmackDown, and it was all about what's going to be the team name. And that's what they're doing. I think they're thinking to themselves, we need to establish them as the freaks backstage, a lot more vignettes.
Yeah.
And we do these, then when we bring them back out next time, they get a better reaction. I like the red contact lenses.
Yeah.
I do think he just needs to have that. I think his hair also needs to go blonde. But other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. There isn't anybody that I can think of that, you know.
Oh, you think Cody and Rick would be great?
Yeah, as a heel act, yeah.
Actually, I think that could even work as a heel act. It's possible, yeah. Or as a babyface act, I think that'd be good. Yeah,
yeah. That's the only other one.
But then again, it's not like I'm sitting there going, "Okay, you can take somebody who has a lot of talent and put them with somebody with a lot of talent." It's not like he's guaranteed to get them over. Look at Cesaro.
It's true. Well, I mean, but. Again, that just proves that...
They still think that they're going in the direction to get him over.
The pen is mightier than the mouth, right?
Yeah.
It's because if you jobbed a Kofi Kingston twice,
uh-huh.
and then beat the fuck out of him,
yep.
after, so nobody gets over. And then Big E Langston runs down.
Yep.
After. What the fuck does that do?
It doesn't do anything for any of the three of
them. Anybody.
No.
It's like, it's brutal.
No.
I mean, I did enjoy the promo.
Yeah.
You know. But other than that, yeah, Cesaro's in that holding pattern. Cesaro,
and, I mean,
they've got Cesaro in that 50-50 book level with the rest of the guys, with the Del Rios and the Kofis and the Swaggers and the Zigglers, and you can throw in Cesaro in that, and it's just like, you never get out of that.
No, and even if purgatory. even if he wins the belt,
That's even worse.
So what? Yeah, I mean, then when Wade Barrett comes back, Wade Barrett's a baby face against, I don't know what. Like,
Wade Barrett's gone for, 8 months.
Yeah.
So, that one's...
I don't know.
It is. It's, 8 months. So, yeah. I mean, that's after Mania.
Yeah, even. So you don't think Cesaro can hold the belt that long?
Sure, and he'll probably defend it, three times.
It's true. It's true.
The thing is, the only... and they won't do this. The only way this works... Yeah. With Cesaro. The only way this works with Cesaro is at SummerSlam, they give Brock Lesnar the belt, and then Cesaro's belt takes on a more prominent role as the Intercontinental Champion.
That's true. And that will happen. If Heyman had both guys, it would actually make more sense that my client isn't here on TV and won't defend, but my client in his place...
Yeah.
We'll put his title on the line. We'll
put the prestigious Intercontinental title held by Ricky Steamboat and Bret Hart and Randy Savage. The prestigious Intercontinental title will be up for grabs in the Hell in the Cell. Or, something like that.
That's the way, yeah, you're right, that does work. And it does work because he has both guys.
Yeah.
So he actually can. And then Cesaro could, eventually that can also lead to his babyface turn. The idea that I'm doing all this work for this other guy.
I'm the workhorse here. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's true, and then you can make him a star. But, I mean, as it is, right now, with how they peg Cesaro is, give him a few wins. Everybody knows he's awesome. Everybody knows he's one of the best talents in the company.
Yeah.
So when we need to get somebody over, give him a win over him. And so then he never gets past that level.
Yes.
Then you become that gatekeeper.
Yeah,
you become that mechanic.
You know? I understand that, but... And I understand.
But that's, I mean, I'm not saying that's right, but that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, but that doesn't. But that thinking doesn't explain why the fuck Kofi beat him.
No, I know.
Because it's fucking Kofi.
I know.
Why did they have RVD?
But they do this with Kofi all the time. Kofi's always had his number. Kofi beat him for the belt. Remember after last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Kofi's always had his number.
JVD.
Well, that's it. Job Van Dam.
Job Van Dam.
I mean, Rob Van Dam will always get the reaction. The crowd likes him, but. Rob Van Dam came into this company as the semi-legend when he came back here. He's the semi-legend Rob Van Dam. So for a little while, he had momentum. And then you book him horribly.
Well, he was in last year's Your Mommy is a Skank, right?
Yep.
And
he had momentum there. He had momentum the next night against Jericho.
But then already by the SummerSlam when he's fighting Del Rio for the big gold belt.
Because he lost to Del Rio already.
Yeah, and that had nothing. And then he got Ricardo, and that was horrible. And
yeah, exactly. But I mean, the point is that the crowd sees him or would see him as a semi-legend because he's earned that. He's not Shawn Michaels, but he's not fucking R-Truth. You know what I mean?
No,
he's a semi-legend. So how it
he's
should
like a Hardy Boy.
Yes. So how it should work is Rusev should beat him.
Yes.
But what it should be is this guy wins all the time. He's a semi-legend. Keep him strong. So when Rusev beats him, it fucking means something. Instead, because he's losing to Wade Barrett and he'll lose to Cesaro and he's losing to everybody.
Yeah.
At this point, right? He's losing to Ambrose or Rollins. Like, he loses so much that when Rusev beat him, it meant nothing.
Yeah.
You only have so many guys that are that semi-legend that they can bring back.
This is starting to tell me, though, that Rob Van Dam's latest stint is coming to an end.
Well, yeah, it's coming to an end. But again, if you want to bring him back, you should be able to bring him back. Like Jericho. Jericho's brought back as a semi-legend or a legend. And it's that same thing.
Rob Van Dam's not that good, though.
He's not at the same level, but he's not... if he was booked right, people wouldn't see him that far off. And he should still put over those guys.
Yeah.
But it's like
see, Jericho, though, will put Bray Wyatt over, we'll put CM Punk over, we'll put even Fandango over. And he will do it by having, not in Fandango's case, but generally do it by having a really great match that elevates the guy he's with. Rob Van Dam is not capable of that anymore.
No, he can still, occasionally, he can still... It's like Hulk Hogan, when he came back. Remember Hulk Hogan came back?
Hulk Hogan came back?
Yeah, he had the time
it's like
against...
like Terry Funk came back.
He had the time against Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle.
Yes.
And he's jobbing out to these guys. Like, he came in, he loses to The Rock, but then he wins the title. He has a lot of momentum. And then he loses the title to Taker. And immediately he goes around and starts jobbing to everybody.
Lost to Angle,
And that's where he fell into the problems with Vince. Because Vince is like, well, you're older now. You're supposed to put these guys over. And Hogan, and this time I think he's actually in the right, Hogan's point was, it's not the time to put him over because the crowd still believes. And as long as they believe, we can make money off that. And it's the same thing with Rob Van Dam. I know he's not as good as he once was, but the crowd still believes, and they still kind of want to believe. And so you should use that instead of turning him into Job Van Dam.
Well,
JVD.
The JVD?
At the JVD, yeah.
But I think that... Yeah, I agree that you have... I mean, to me, the correct use of Rob Van Dam is... And they don't have a lot of these. I mean,
semi-legends. No,
but they don't know. And I'm saying they don't have a lot of heel jobbers.
No.
So there's not a lot. Like Heath Slater even turned babyface. You know, last time we saw him.
No, actually, I think since then he's turned heel again.
Oh, is he okay?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Damian Sandow's heel babyface. Heel babyface.
Well, yeah, you have Sandow and you have the Heath Slaters, and I mean, you can card out a David Otunga, or you know what I mean, like, and you can get these guys. To job to, you know, even a Curtis Axel, right, and a Ryback can lose to Van Dam, and then after that month and a half, then he loses to Cesaro.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But they
you know, then he loses to Cesaro, then he loses to Rusev.
I'm just saying, if you get it right,
Rusev would get a lot. Rusev got nothing out of beating him. Rob Van Dam got nothing and lost almost nothing out of beat him. And Rusev gets nothing.
I can't
out
say
of
he doesn't get nothing. He gets a little something, but doesn't get as much as he could.
As he could.
Yes. And I mean, because it is still, I mean, and speaking about not getting as much as you could in Rusev, like, I mean, we'll wait on the SmackDown spoilers as we record this, but Rusev and Roman Reigns?
On
the SmackDown.
It
was the main
event.
It doesn't
matter. I don't think it matters.
Well, but I mean, it's just, it was like on Monday when it was Rollins and Cena. I understand.
That did nothing for Rollins.
I understand maybe, okay, it's going
to
be.
It was a short match and Rollins was about to tap out. I was like, fuck.
I understand it was going to be a thing.
Yes.
Like, you know, but no. I mean, you got the champion in a briefcase guy. No.
I understand you have to put on, you want to draw viewers. I understand that. And you have to draw views. You have to
deliver
on the contract that USA Network has given you.
Yes.
I understand that.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're back into a corner. But the way you do it, it's all about how you do it. Right?
Okay, Jericho and Bray Wyatt announced for Battleground.
Yeah, we kind of knew. Okay. Okay, I thought it would be that six-man. But, okay, so they're going with that.
AJ against Paige at Battleground.
So what we're basically seeing is every single thing it sounds like we're seeing at Battleground will be, except for the main event of Cena versus Lesnar, sounds like it's going to be a rematch. SummerSlam will be the rematches from Battleground. Battleground Fallout. This year's SummerSlam.
Fest. Battlefest.
It'll be Battlefest.
Battlefest.
I mean, you get Rollins and Ambrose again probably. You might get Swag. I wouldn't be surprised if you get Swagger and Rusev again at SummerSlam.
You're going to get Battleground.
Swagger again on SmackDown. It was great, too, the second time that he stood up to him.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, Jesus, yeah. Because he just has the perfect look. Just this perfect, serious look like, I'm here to fight you. You believe he wants to fight the guy. And the crowd's going nuts for it. And I'm like, Christ, how great would this be if they hadn't jobbed out Swagger consistently over the last year?
Yeah.
You know? And it's the same thing. Well, it's like it would mean more, much like we're kind of
like
back
Rusev,
to the
right?
JVD, yeah.
And JVD, like all of it would mean more. But they've also announced Usos and Wyatt's best 2 out of 3 falls.
Uh-huh.
Battleground.
So, but we've already seen 47 falls between them.
That's true. Yes.
But it's a great match.
It is a great match. Yeah. It's just, I mean, we talk about there's eight Divas programs going on right now, or four Divas with eight.
And one tag program.
And just one tag program where, I mean, and where are the tag teams, right?
Yeah.
Where have all the tag teams gone? Long time lasting. I want to know. But, I mean, you got the Rhodes Brothers, and you got Axel Back. Like, basically, you have two jobber teams. You have a new team. And then you have two other teams.
Yeah.
So yeah. You have five teams, two of which are jobber teams. And
one of them, which is a guy that's hurt, in the Matadors.
Right, exactly. So there you go. So
it's,
I don't know. I mean, Heath Slater teams with Titus O'Neil. That's a guy that Rob Van Dam could beat. There you go, Titus O'Neil. Forgot about him, right?
Yeah.
So.
He should have been. Like I said, consistently beating all these guys. So at least it means a little something.
Yeah, I mean,
Risa beats them.
They won't do that, and they can because they don't have any competition, right?
No,
it is not like right now the Monday Night War is on.
No, it certainly isn't.
It certainly isn't. But the Monday Night War.
But it's been a long time since, I mean, when TNA and they went head to head and they had that competition.
Yes.
That's been years now.
Remember 0.08?
Yeah, 0.08
for what was it? AJ against Rob Van Dam?
No, that was like
Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
AJ and Angle. That's right, because AJ was Angle was Hogan's guy, and AJ was Flair and Abyss was with fucking awful. Although for the one night, the one night in January 4th, when Bret Hart came back,
yes,
and TNA went. Live head-to-head for the 2 hour. Not head-to-head. It was an hour overlap, right?
It was years ago, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was what?
That one night it felt like a Monday Night War.
Almost five years ago.
It's got to be more, yeah.
2010.
You were back in living Preswick. In the neighborhood. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 2010. It was 2010.
Yeah.
So, it, yeah. And Jeff Harvey shows up.
Jeff Harvey.
And Nasty Boys and the fucking Val Venus.
And Homicide can't escape a cage.
Homicide could not escape that fucking domed fucking metal thing. Barred condom thing, whatever the fuck that is.
It's his fault being in TNA. They suck dick.
Monday Night War.
Yeah.
Was an interesting program.
Program?
Yeah.
It was on Monday nights. I couldn't watch it because I was having trouble with the network.
Yeah, you were having trouble, and so was, we'll give a shout out to Dan in Oregon. He was having a hard time as well. He seemed to be okay with it, though.
No, it was the same thing. I was like, you advertise, I mean, they're fucking pushing so hard.
And pulling?
To try and get... Try this network. Please try the network. You don't even need a credit card anymore. Fucking week free. Do any. Please try it. Please try it. And we're going to have this exclusive show. It's a preview. It's a sneak preview of what's going to be great on the network in a couple months when this show actually airs. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Come try it. You can get you all excited. And I'm all excited. And Raw turns off. And I go to get it on there. And I can't get on.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only one.
No.
Say. And then they don't have it up available. It's not in the net. It's not in the schedule again. And not available in the originals, and I couldn't watch it. And so then I'm like, oh well.
Yeah.
I guess I won't watch it. And I don't care if I ever see it now. Because you only get one, and I probably will eventually watch it when they got months from now, they have a few episodes up.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's like, that's not really what I have the network for. I mean,
See, that's the difference. You have it for the pay-per-views. I enjoy the pay-per-views.
Well, not just the pay-per-views, but I mean, I have it for things like I have the disposable income
of $10.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how few people do. I have the disposable.
Well, Wisconsin is a state.
WWE's what is it? Let me see. 66% of Americans have a college education. 44% of WWE fans have a college education.
Oh, I was going to say the other 44%.
What is it? 50% of Americans make $50,000 or more. 33% of WWE's audience makes $50,000 or more.
You know, the average 2.1 kids. Well, yeah, the average.
Yeah.
WWE people 2.5, which doesn't sound like much, but actually it is. Well, it's a certain percentage with that extra expense because raising kids expensive.
I understand.
They don't. They are just from their nature. They're drawing from a smaller income level.
But no, because if you said 33% of WWE fans make $50,000 or more, so let's say the average that of a WWE fan from this survey is $30,000. Okay. There are 9 WWE fans per household in the United States.
And the 52 million households.
$180,000
yes,
annual.
According to their research.
Yes.
They're morons. But no, I mean, the point is, for me, I'm like, okay, well, if I don't see the show, I mean, it's like, I don't watch all the countdowns. I don't watch really any WrestleMania Rewinds. It's the convenience if I do want to watch something, or if I get over my 6-month period, I get 2 or 3 things that I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth $60 for me. So I already got that. I got the Warrior thing. I got the pre shows of WrestleMania. And they aren't doing that anymore. Pre and post show things. They're dropping those for expenses.
Yeah.
But I got the WrestleMania pre shows, WrestleMania weekend build, the Daniel Bryan documentary, the Warrior documentary, the NXT. Takeover, the second one, what was that?
Yeah, it was Takeover.
What was the first one? Was it Ascension or something?
Arrival.
Arrival. So the point is, that's worth the money already to me, so I don't care.
Yeah.
But I also don't care if I see this, but especially if you're giving it to me and it doesn't work, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not the one you need to worry about. I've been watching wrestling, I never stopped. Not like most people who come back and go away and come back. I've never stopped.
When did you start? Watched, what year did you start watching wrestling?
I don't know. A long time.
Like 1980?
Maybe.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to...
I don't even know. Like a long time. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, most of my life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, since I was a little kid, right?
So 1960.
I was little.
So old.
No, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm not the guy you need to worry about. I'll buy the network because I have the disposable income and I've never gone away and I watch ROH.
Yeah.
I'll watch in Japan. I'm always the guy you don't need to worry about.
You know, this past Saturday, you could do both.
That's right. It's the guy who's that guy who is a...
that guy.
Yeah. There's a guy.
Don't know if you heard about him. He's English. Not that we should only get some... Bah!
It's the guy. It is those casual fans who went, "Oh, I don't need that. Let me check out this network. I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to, you know, be able to do this." Who can't get on that?
Yeah.
You that have all of a sudden have gone. Oh, you haven't had the good user experience. That you're not going to get it back, or those people that are on the fence that maybe don't have the extra money or aren't as a hardcore fan.
Yeah.
Whoever that is in network, and I don't think that's many, but those are the people you need to worry about, right?
Yeah.
And you can't have any. Like, I just wonder how many people, like, were going, oh, it's free, let's try it. Let's try this show and had that same experience as me.
Yeah, which is weird. As I said, I logged right on and, I mean, I couldn't find it after, but that was the same to me as the Warrior thing. I couldn't find it right away after. It might be on there now. I haven't checked yet, but, I mean, I got on. I didn't watch it.
You're using a PS4.
Yeah.
I was using a,
Commodore 64.
Yeah, an Xbox 360. Dan was using a laptop.
So.
And at this point, I can understand that first week, maybe even the first month, that you'd have some differences. But after almost 6 months, it should be a seamless, exact same user experience for everybody.
Yeah.
Within the company, and it's still not. So that's another negative. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the. As I said, I just got right. I mean, I wasn't even live.
Yeah.
I went in after, say, 9:30 or so, our time, and I went from beginning, right? So I watched it from the beginning, but I didn't watch it. I didn't tune in. I didn't go right away to the thing right after, at 9 o'clock or whatever when Raw was over. I didn't do that. So I don't really know. And when people, you know, you couldn't get on and Dan couldn't get on. I mean, those were the only two that I'd heard. Apparently, there was others that reading online, but of course, but no, it's just you two. But yeah,
how was
the power button, Dan? You just got to press the power button, huh?
How was the actual show?
You know, it in a lot of ways. I mean, it's It was a lot like, I mean, they put the DVD out, you know, whatever, 10 years ago or whatever they did, the Monday Night War DVD. So, a lot like that, but with new, there were new interviews.
Well, they also did the NWO, the Rise and Fall of WCW, and the NWO DVD. Yeah. And a lot of this is containing this material.
Right, but the only really, the ones that I really noticed that were retread interviews mm-hmm. were, there was a little bit from Harvey Schiller, Vince, in his various years in terms of giving interviews, so there's never really a lot of new Vince stuff. But, and I don't know that, I think the Linda McMahon stuff was from the 50-year history of WWF DVD, if I remember correctly. But, and it was a little bit from Shane O'Mac from 2005.
Yeah, so that, yeah, would have to be old, because he's in China.
That's right. And how is Joni Lauer? Not on this special. But they'd had interviews with Tony Schiavone.
Remember China,
yeah. Tony Schiavone, with a beard, and there doing a little blurb. They had some Vince Russo blurb, a lot of Lex Luger, because to tell you the way that it was is that they talked about WWF always owned the landscape, and then NWA Crockett Promotions, you know, existed but never really found a way to stay in business in terms of not to draw money, stay, but to make money.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that had to do with wanting to go to Dallas and a bunch. They didn't get into that. But then, then Ted Turner bought it, and they had some old, you know, after mags with the, you know, Turner buys the, you know, NWA.
Yeah.
And actually, an interview from 1998.
I wonder if they could interview Turner. That'd be great.
Interview from 1998 that had, that was aired sporadically throughout the special was Ted Turner.
Oh, okay, but it's still 1998. I wonder if they'd have... Oh, that'd be great.
If they could get him now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard about him.
Is he alive?
I assume he is. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you.
But I think he is. I think we'd heard if he'd passed away.
Probably.
So anyway, they had that, and they talked about, okay, blah, 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 and then Hogan jumps.
Yeah.
And Hogan gives the interview, and it's the one where, since he's come back, actually, where, you know, he's got the ring behind him. Mm-hmm. That he's been doing this stuff lately. So this is a newer Hogan interview where he basically talked about, he didn't say he didn't want a job to Bret Hart, but he said that he's got there and there was a youth movement going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, you know, okay, well, you're going to start.
Well, and you're on steroids, another guy isn't.
Yeah. And you didn't go that, but you're going to start, we're going to start making these new stars.
Yeah.
And I just thought that we still had some juice left in this thing, so I left. Right? That was some juice, literally.
But Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar.
So there's some juice, so I left. And so that was his deal.
Yeah.
Explanation, and they showed the ticker tape parade, and then, you know, and they even showed...
mean when he entered WCW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they showed Mean Gene. Mean Gene said, I signed quite a lucrative deal. Who didn't? With WCW, he says, and he goes, and others joined me, and then they showed, you know, Heenan making his debut on the Clash of Champions. Bobby Heenan, what are you doing here? I work here, pal.
Yes.
Great stuff. How did you get a job here? Ted and Jane, that's how. I'm just, you know. But, so they showed that, and then they talked about Randy Savage.
Yes.
They talked about, Randy Savage and you know, Vince, the January or from November 7th, 1994, when Vince gives this speech saying that, you know, Savage can't come to terms on renegotiating of a contract. But, and the genius.
My daughter.
Yeah. And the genius comes out and says it. And this is good, too, because they talk about, some of this stuff kind of contradicts. And you could tell some of the guys are just told the company line, like Michael Hayes.
And some of them won't remember.
Ted Turner just opened up the pocketbook, right?
Yeah.
But they actually go in and they say Savage jumped because he still wanted to wrestle.
Yes.
And Vince wanted to be a commentator.
That's true.
And that is the reason that he left.
Yeah. But remember, right before Savage, that is true.
Yeah.
But Savage was, right before he left, about to get the championship as well. They went with Diesel. but they almost went with Savage.
They hummed and hawed about Savage as well, and I think that was the... I think when they went with Diesel...
That was like the straw that broke the camel's back, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, and you're not... Now, you know, we're going to keep you as a commentator.
Yeah.
We're not going to keep you as a title. We're going to keep you as a commentator. Like, exactly. That's one end of the spectrum to the other.
You're too old.
I mean, look at him.
So old. And this is where Dave Meltzer was sitting there going, you know what? This is where...
Who?
Dave Meltzer.
Oh.
He does a show.
Yeah.
You want me to get him on?
No.
Dave Meltzer, this is where he says, I mean, he's right that Hulk Hogan couldn't have as good a match as before, and same with Savage.
Right.
But this is where they're at the height of their drawing power, because the visibility and legend is now so high that their drawing ability, it doesn't matter. And it's like that for a little while.
Yes.
And that's what was proved when they went to WCW.
That's right. They were, you know, and it really did, and it lasted right up... You know, yeah, you got a good year out of it, I would say.
More. More. I mean, think about it. Savage jumped in 94. He had the feud of the year, PWI.
No, yes, he did, but...
1997.
What I'm getting at, but you got... No, but that was... See, at that point, you had Hogan, and Savage, you had WWF's Hogan and Savage.
Yes.
Right, for a year.
Yeah.
Late 94 to late 95... drawing based off their WWF legend.
That's true.
A little bit of a lull. Mm-hmm. NWO.
Well, that's not true. It starts to pick up when it was Flair
and Savage in late 95. In late 95, yeah. Early 96. That's what I'm saying. You're getting a year, then you're getting Savage taken over with the matches, but you're getting Hogan, getting the juice with the NWO. Yeah. Savage picking up some of that juice from the NWO as well.
Yeah.
And so that really, it but stops
that,
being
that
becomes...
Doesn't, the, what happened with NWO isn't as powerful if those two, like their drawing ability, their power, like I know what you're saying, that they were riding the crest off that, but what they did with them in the NWO still mattered because of...
Well,
like,
yes.
It wasn't about what they could do in the ring anymore. It was about
who they are. Yeah. But it stopped, so they stopped being...
That's where Vince fucked up.
But the NWO is where, to me, where they stopped becoming... WWF stars in WCW, and they become WCW's act.
Yes, right? I agree with that.
And so that's what I mean by them living off that legend, but then they're creating a new legend.
Yes.
With the NWO. And I got to tell you this story. I forgot all about this story.
Is this the regular segment, Addy uses wrestling in real life?
Well... Sort of. This actually happened a long time ago, though, and I think you may know. I should have told you this story. There was a local pub that we used to frequent, mm-hmm. And I remember I was waiting for some people there.
Every local pub,
I know.
Frequent.
Yeah, yeah. Which one? But I was waiting for. I was the first one there.
Yeah.
So I knew the bartender, and I think it was Mikey, it wasn't Tim. But anyway, so I belly up to the bar, as it were, mm-hmm. And there's a guy sitting next to me. I was talking to the bartender about wrestling. Sharking. And I had a conversation with someone about wrestling. And this guy beside me, he says, "Oh, hey, my name's Jim." He goes, "I used to work for..."
Oh, yes, I've heard this. This is great.
"Stampede Wrestling."
What?
"No, I wasn't a wrestler. I was an usher. Stampede Wrestling." I says, "Oh, well, that's pretty good. I mean, we're in Calgary. This guy was old. I mean, sure. Great, right?" Mm-hmm. I mean, not a plausible... story based on those facts, right? Like, "Oh, sure. And he's like, "Oh," and like the bartender, "Oh, you're not sure. Like, when did you do that for?" He goes, "Well, the most recent time." And this was like 98, I think.
Yeah.
He goes,
"Yeah.
The most recent time I was an usher was, they had the show here." And Stu called
Stu's
me.
Stu's birthday.
And, no, for Canadian Stampede.
Oh, okay. Canadian Stampede.
In your house, Canadian Stampede. Stu, in 97, yeah. He said, "Stu, call me."
97 was a great year.
He said, "Jim, I want you to come on down. I want you to come to the Saddle Dome." He said, "You're part of it. I want you to come on down. I want you to work this show." Mm-hmm. Right. And so now we're like, all right.
The show that Stu was booking?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could be. They had like 750,000 people joining them there, ended up in the ring, right? It's like, okay, it's one of them, right? It's fine, whatever.
Yeah,
starting to become less possible now, right? But we're just like, we're in a bar where he's like, oh, yeah,
whatever, you don't give a fuck.
He goes, he goes, and then last month, he said exactly how he sounded too, scrape. And last month, I got a call from Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He says, Jimmy, I want you to come on down. I want you to join the NWO. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, Hulkster, I can't. You've turned your back on your fans. I just can't condone that.
Oh, and you guys dead serious.
Dead serious. And I'm just having fun now. I'm like, really? Oh, fuck, was that ever funny. Yeah, this guy, we'd see him now and again as we'd watch the pay-per-views during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And we said something about...
And during 97, which was a great year.
And during 97. But we saw... I forget
what was 97 in wrestling?
What did he say one time? We said something about The Rock.
97, did you like it?
1997, you know, that was a pretty good year. Pretty good year. But he said we said something to the same guy about The Rock. We said, oh, you mean... he goes, oh, I got to... Saw him play football for the Stampeders, you know. Like, oh, yeah, Johnson. Yeah. Johnson, what are you talking about?
Yeah!
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He goes, The Rock's real name is Rocky Maivia.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he told me. I'm like, really?
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm like, so you have a Maivia Stampeders jersey? I have a Maivia Stampeders. Oh, this guy was great.
Gotta love a worker.
Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. Anyway, back to the Monday Night Wars.
Fuck it.
They did this, so they did, they had some interspersed. They talked a lot about, so they jumped.
Yes.
And then, you know, they're talking about, well, WWF has the younger guys still, some of the newer generation stars. They talked about the new WWF generation, right? And so you're interviewing Bret Hart and you know, and guys like that. And Brett even, you know, his old quote was, you know, you say what you will, you never had, the title hadn't had better matches, you know, in, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know. So he's going on about that, and at these new guys, the talent, the matches are starting to become part of the show.
Yes, yes.
As well as the personalities. And then they talked about, then there's a lot about Luger. Mm-hmm. Right, and the old Bischoff from the Monday Night Wars and Rise and Fall of WCW interview where he's in front of the SmackDown, he's up in the rafters, yes, SmackDown that, thing, right, that's like the only interview they have with Bischoff, I think. So they showed some...
They could get him now.
No, they could get him now, but yeah. But some of the stuff in terms of, you know, he didn't really like Luger, and he only did it as a favor to Sting and blah, 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 right? And then there's Luger being interviewed, you know, like... saying, you know, like, here I was on the house show the night before, you know, and Jim Ross saying, like, what a bonehead move that was. Jim Ross is going, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
To put and not have this sealed, because that was JJ, right?
Yeah. Then.
So I think that was might have been JJ's last move.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
could have been.
Move, you know.
Because he was in WCW himself not too much longer, or later.
That's right.
It was pretty soon after, yeah.
About at least 2 years, maybe a year and a bit, you know, later, yeah.
If that.
Because, well, it was Nick Bockwinkel, right, was the president at first, and then JJ became the head of the executive committee.
That's right, yeah. Right?
But, so that's, you know, pretty much where it ended was that.
Now, it's going to be a while before they show the next one.
Yeah.
They advertised this when they're announcing the launch, like 7 months ago.
Yeah, it was one of the
It was one of the main things.
Yeah.
The Monday Night War. Because Triple H kept on calling it Monday Night Wars, and Stephanie kept on correcting him.
War, yeah. Yeah. But the teleprompter has an S. That was the best thing. He's like, it does. And they turned the camera around to show the teleprompter having an S.
So they wait a long time, then they finally debut it, and then it's gone again for a while. What do you think about that?
No, that's fine. I mean, this is part of the free trial. This is a, if you sign up, this is what you could be getting, right, eventually. Okay. And we're going to launch it. And it's just, it's one
of
those.
I wonder what the fuck the delay is. I mean, now we're hearing they won't be another Legends House likely. You know,
Tough Enough has been pushed back again.
Yeah, like, let's talk about this. I mean, let's talk about the desperation.
Yeah.
I mean, what's happening with the network? I mean, they're coming across like, like I say, desperate.
And, watch 8 days ago's pay-per-view for free.
Yeah.
Which is log on so we can market you.
Yeah.
And you can watch the show for free.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You know. And this is 6 months after you had to pay $50 to watch a pay-per-view.
That's right.
Now log on 8 days later and watch them all for free.
Yes.
It's like, it's different.
It's very different. And somehow it makes their brand look like this desperation makes your brand look like it's not as valuable. I think it's almost like it says to people, this stuff's not worth paying for. Like it's not, this stuff isn't that big a deal. It's not, you know, the allure of pay-per-views is,
yeah.
And which hurts the kind of I don't know, the whole company.
I think they need to, I mean, they almost need to be desperate though, but I don't understand.
They tried to give away the $50 gift certificates. Now they're doing this. It makes me think that the signups are not going well.
Well, I'm sure they're not. I mean, that's it. I mean, you got. We talked about it right after the number was announced. Is like,
I said, I think they're in trouble. I think they're in trouble.
Well, they're not in trouble. They're not.
They're losing a shitload of money.
They're not in trouble.
They're in trouble.
They're losing money. Sure.
$50 million.
They're not in trouble.
$50 million.
Yeah, $50 million to what? They're not losing $50 million.
Yes, they are.
When?
That's what they announced, is that they expect this year, if the pay-per-view or the sign-up for the network stays at the level it's at,
they project
that they will lose $50 million this
year. Yes, and how do you combat that? I mean, that's the
desperation.
Thing. But...
But is it going to be even effective? I don't think it's even.
No, I don't think it's going to be effective at all. I think it's it. I said though,
you need 1.4 million. So you launched after WrestleMania with less than half of that.
Well, that's the thing. And as I said, that's what you're getting though.
Yeah.
These are all the people that signed up for Wrestle fucking Mania.
Yeah. You, worldwide.
Yes.
Because a large percentage,
despite
of those,
what
it's
they
like
think,
450,000 people in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're.
Yeah,
and now it's starting to look like you're desperate. It's starting to look like, fuck, we've tried everything. Let's just give it away and see if that'll get them.
Well, and how many people are they going to get, even say from Canada here? You know, like I mean,
when not many,
50,000,
if that.
Like, that aren't already signed up.
If that,
yeah.
You know, and the same thing. It's you're still not on smart TVs. You're still having problems, like I said, on some of these networks, and you're I don't know, You're giving it away. You're looking really, really desperate, and you're looking like you have no clue how to turn it around. And like I say, I mean, just the idea that you did everything on Raw last week for free, and everything that people should theoretically pay for the network for, you didn't do.
You like, gave Jericho and AJ away.
All this stuff is... It seems simple, but and in some ways the product's better right now than it has been over the last few years.
Like,
largely, I'm enjoying the product right now.
Yeah.
But oh man, I do not. They just look like they don't have a clue anymore. Now they're just throwing shit against the wall.
Yeah, it's and it's funny who's kind of been a little bit in the background in all this is the marketing genius himself.
Vince. We never hear from him.
No, that's just it.
No.
And again, this is really a again, and it's in many ways I thought this was going to be different than the XFL or the WBF or you know, or the WWF New York restaurant, right? Because it's basically, you know, television programming that you're putting on here, right? And that's what he's done for years. It just happens it's a different platform than USA Network, let's say.
But it's being mistakes. You know what? But it was giving away Vince. WrestleMania was a mistake. You should have given away. You should have given away 9 pay-per-views and had 3 pay-per-views that are still traditional pay-per-views.
Well, that's what it was originally going to be, right? And then somebody got scared, and someone...
Well, but the other thing is, I mean, this whole thing, it cannibalized their own... Like, the money that they ended up getting
was a lot lower because of this.
And I'm okay with like that.
Everything that they've done has come back at them.
I'm okay with that
worse
short
than
term.
It should be.
I'm okay with that short term, the cannibalization, if this is going to work long term.
But
right
but
now.
There's starting to be that sense that it's not.
Well, it's.
I didn't have that sense at first. And now I'm starting to. This to me speaks of we don't fucking know anymore. And that's not a good sign.
I mean.
We're firing this person. We're getting rid of this person. This person's to blame.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things that I look at. First off, we are less than, so like, we haven't had a renewal yet.
No.
I'm interested in that, right?
I do think they'll have between 85 and 90% retention. I don't think that'll be an issue.
Yeah. Well, they have 90% satisfaction.
Yeah.
See? So.
And you can't get none.
Yeah. Can't get none. But I just think that it's too short term right now.
Yeah,
I mean we're less than 6 months into it.
Well, and again, if they had gone into this with the idea saying to people we're going to launch and probably get 500,000 and it's going to lose money and we're going to lose money for 3 years, 4 years, but eventually this is going to make us a lot of money and we have a strategy for this and everything. It'd be fine. But instead they said, we're going to get 1 million and we're going to be at 2 million at the end of the year.
Yeah.
We're going to get 1 million at WrestleMania and be 2 million at the end of the year. And even people like Dave Meltzer said they'll get 1 million easily at WrestleMania. And I went, fuck no, you don't get it. And
yeah,
you know.
Well, they get 667,000, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and as it got closer, that's, you know, closer to what he said too. But at first, or initially, when he heard this, before it was officially announced, this is what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, again, that was a big knee-jerk reaction because if you had 1 million buyers of a WrestleMania on average that are willing to pay $70, $60, you would naturally
think...
Well,
you think 600,000 U.S., right? You think, oh, we can get those 600 and 400,000 more because it's $40 cheaper, $50.
Exactly.
More. But, yeah, again, you just... When you have only... When you have 5 million people that are watching... If you can get 10% for something like this to actually pay additionally, when they're used to getting so much for free, that sounds about
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's 500,000.
And again, I mean, and if you wanted to grow that, and so if they had come into this saying this is this long term strategy, we have a 5 year plan, but instead they came in and went, oh, 1 million right away, we'll break even right away, and then we're going to turn around, we're going to 2 million or $50 million profit.
And then
by
2 years
the
later,
year.
We'll have 3 million. Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
And that's the fucking problem. And when they didn't get that, and they weren't just saying that, they were stupid enough to believe that because of their research. Into having, you know, 9 people per 52 million homes who have an affinity for the WWE, where the hell their stupid stats were.
Yeah.
They really
believe
that.
300 million Americans.
Yes.
700 million of them are WWE fans.
That's the truth. That's the case. So it's not looking good.
No, but again, I
think they should just, if they were sitting there
I
right
think
now,
you will get, though, I think... next.
Well, this is long term. They lose money and lose money and lose money. Eventually, it's got to turn around. Hopefully, it just may take longer than you thought.
Yeah,
I mean, eventually it will get to that point. But I mean, will it get to the point where it's break even and makes a slight profit? Probably. Will it ever get to 3 million? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, and again, but what the thing is with this is that,
or even 2 million, I don't think so. If you get to 1.5. worldwide right now, I think you'd be...
One day I think you will.
5-10 years from now, maybe.
Well, who knows? Maybe.
I mean, I
it has nothing
this.
To do... All it has to do with... I mean, happens, and even when you don't think it's going to happen, think about what... We talk about this all the time. Think about, I mean, there's a difference in terms of mentality now than there was 20 years ago.
I can tell you this.
But when I was watching Diesel against King Mabel, I did not think that 3 years later at SummerSlam Highway to Hell, I was going to be watching it, and I didn't have enough friends to take me to watch this show, that it was that packed, and Austin and Undertaker and all those guys, this boom period was there. I wouldn't have thought that 3 years earlier. So I'm just saying, I don't expect that the way the corporation, but you don't know, and it's going to take that, then you'll get 3 million.
That's true.
When it's hot, you'll get your 3 million.
And Ambrose is the key. But
yes.
I know what you're saying. I can only tell you this, again, working in the television and working for a television cable provider, my company's mandate has been, we're no longer a television provider. We've been a television provider for 50 years.
Now,
we are now an internet
service. You're in the entertainment business.
No, we are now an internet service provider who provides television on the side.
Yeah.
And when people say, are you, what about Netflix? Are you afraid of Netflix? Up until now, it's been Netflix is our competition. Now, the answer is, no, we're the number one provider for internet to Netflix. And that's the mentality that has, within the last 6 weeks, where I work, gone through a change.
We
that's
help
a huge,
we
a
help
huge
Netflix.
Thing. We do. And, yeah. and that's it. It's like, okay, you're going to need that. You're going to need this kind of speed. You're going to need this. We are going to go to that. We're going to go everywhere. We're going to give away our product everywhere. And we're going to market it across the city. We're going to blanket the city to be internet service and give it a whole new level of service in every location.
It's
and
true,
TV,
actually. Even when I was on vacation, I had Straw open.
You did.
That I had.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And TV, that's just what we're doing for now while we can make some money at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's a big, and that's going to affect people getting the network, and that shift is going to affect, and that'll be happening more and more too. So
that's true. I mean, that is true. And ultimately, like you said, that may lead to more people accepting.
But it also may lead to more competition. All of a sudden, if you're sitting there going, okay, I'm used to paying one provider to give me all of this. Now all of a sudden I got NFL saying, that's only $5 a month for all our games, for our period. And we got this movie channel saying, I'm $3 a month, but I'll provide you my own, and I'm competition Netflix. We don't know how this is going to go. And we don't know what the price points will be.
Right.
So
that's the other thing WWE Network should do, is that
they're
price
there early, but they should increase that.
They should go up about $2, yeah.
Yeah, but it's tough because they're already more expensive than Netflix. Of course, then again, while I can say they're already more expensive than Netflix, they're also $1 cheaper than my, our subscription to Figure Four Weekly. And while I actually spend more time with Figure Four Weekly Wrestling Observer and actually get more original content out of it, the truth is it's a radio and newsletter, and I'm paying, you know, $1 more a month for that than I am for WWE Network.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
and I don't complain about either one.
No. But it's
crazy.
It is crazy. As I said, that was the fear, and I think part of it is going to be. I don't see them dropping this concept. There's too much into it at this point, right?
Well, they can't.
So they can't.
But like I say, I mean,
but it's tweaks. I'm with you, though. I'd like to see a few-year plan.
Yeah.
I like to
if
see
the attitude was, fuck it, it hasn't gone as well as we are, who cares? Don't panic.
I think you
stay
will,
the course,
though.
Don't panic.
I think you will get that. Eventually.
Eventually.
I think you'll get it next.
You're not getting it now.
I think you'll get it not
bad.
A year from now, even. I would expect to maybe see it in, I think you see it in April. Next
maybe.
April.
We'll see.
I think you see it after next WrestleMania. The unveiling of the
next
number.
Next WrestleMania is not going to add another 700,000.
It's not. It's not. But
100,000.
Maybe, exactly. But that's when you get that number, I think that's when you're going to get the plan at that point. This is how many people we have, and this is our plan.
Yeah.
I think that's when you see that.
Like
unveiling.
I say, I think the sense of the panic is to me, it just makes the company look like you're not a product people would be willing to pay for, which makes the product look like it's not a hot product, not a valuable product, not a good product.
Yeah.
So
no, that's
with public perception.
That is,
it's the same thing. Remember when they had their pay-per-views and they're $20 and then increased them to 30 and pay-per-view buy rates went up?
Yes.
Because people all of a sudden went, fuck, if it's that much money, it's got to be a better product.
Yes.
It's perception. And people would be amazed to hear that, but that actually happened.
$14.99 was the in-your-house original price.
Yeah. And when they increased the price, it went up. And when they increased it again, it went up more.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden there was a perception that you're paying for something that's worth
paying
for. Well,
I mean, when the HD thing came out and it was all $10 more, and people were going like, are they going to spend, $50 for the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Right. And they did.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
Same thing with it happened with other companies, UFC and boxing as well. And these, it's like, okay, increase the price actually means people say to themselves, oh fuck, it's got to be good enough for that. It's not a low rent product.
No, that's
you
right.
Know? Whereas it's a $10 weekly pay per view like TNA. Fuck, who's going to order that? It's a low rent product.
Well, this is true.
This TNA is 17% increase in the ratings this last week. A huge jump.
Yeah, so they went, from 8 to 9 people watching.
Yeah.
TNA's dead to me. I watched, ROH. It was ROH New Japan.
Some of that War of the Worlds.
From, from New York there.
That was great.
That was awesome. Yeah. So I watched that because they're talking about how they're a fallout. So next week will be the back to business.
Are we done talking TNA?
Yes.
Okay. Can I talk about something?
Dick.
Let's talk about our criticism. Somebody actually criticized the show. What'd they say?
They criticized the show.
Yeah, they said, stop saying fuck every other word.
Fuck off.
I know. They actually said that. Can you fucking believe it? And then they said, stop saying the people in TNA suck dick. It's not mature.
You know what? If the fucking people in fucking TNA don't want me fucking saying that they don't suck fucking dick, then don't fucking suck dick.
That's and this is how people talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but we appreciate your listening. Thanks for the feedback.
Langston. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Shout outs to. Did we already get a shout out to Dan?
We did.
Yeah.
In Oregon.
In Oregon.
Let's see. We did get a question that I know of. I probably got lots more, but one from Trevor Burcham wants to know. Did Ken.
Wait a second. Shout out to JPooch21 on Twitter. At JPooch21. I just want to give a shout out to that.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
How would I get him via Facebook?
Look up John Emmenpoocht.
Okay.
John Emmenpoocht on Facebook.
Okay.
Shout out to that motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not a cocksucker?
No.
Okay. Want to know, Trevor Burcham wants to know, did Kendall Windham ever get any better after his early days in Florida fighting off Kevin Sullivan and the Army of Darkness? Kendall Windham Jr., I believe.
There's
Kendall Windham.
There's pretty much always going to be one sibling who's not as good as the other. One family member is not as good as the other, one whatever. I mean, there's always going to be one Bruce Hart.
Yeah. The answer is yes, because Kendall Windham was a member of the West Texas Rednecks.
Oh, that's true. So his career was awesome.
Bobby Duncum Jr., Kendall Windham, Barry Windham, and ringleader, the leader of the pack, Curt Hennig, and Curly Bill.
Curly Bill, that's right.
Curly Bill, who was not all by himself. He was a member of the West Texas Rednecks.
That's right.
That was a great... it's probably the peak of Kendall Windham and Bobby Duncombe Jr., definitely.
Bobby Duncombe Jr. also passed away?
Yes. I think he passed away still while he was in WCW.
I think he did.
Yeah.
So, like, half of the people are dead in that group then.
Yes. I was thinking Virgil, but...
But he counts as dead.
Yeah. 40% if you count Virgil. But of the main group, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, half of them are gone.
It doesn't matter. Rap is crap. What? Yeah. How did that go again?
Country music.
Well, no, don't sing it. I was just saying the throw to the opening, the whatever.
Folks, you can smell these guys from a mile away.
It was Mean Gene.
Unless you're downwind from them, then you can smell them from a couple of miles away. They are the West Texas Rednecks, Kendall and Bobby Duncombe Jr., Kendall and Barry Windham, and of course, ringleader, the leader of the pack, Curt Hennig.
That's awesome. And then it goes to the rap is crap.
It says, that's right. How many people out there hate rap music? We got a little title out here. We got a little song out there for you. It's called Rap is Crap. And it go like this right here, right now. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Yes, so there they were in the South, and this song that was just supposed to be a heat-getting heel gimmick.
For the No South. Limit Soldiers.
Yes. Master P.
Hootie Hoo. Yeah, Master P.
Was it P or T? P, was it?
P.
Master P.
And then Master P.
Yeah, Hootie Hoo and the No Limit Soldiers.
You had Master P. You had
so the crowd starts cheering the heels, of course, and it becomes the hit. I mean, you fucking morons.
Conan and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And this was Eric Bischoff's new big thing. Yeah. Because Master P was
a huge deal then.
Well,
he got a shit. He got like $50 million.
He was a guy that
something
was
ridiculous. He got like I don't know how much.
Well,
it was.
He was famous.
He got this incredible amount.
Yeah,
of money.
He was famous at the time for cross branding himself. Like he was on South Park. Quite bit. He was a rapper. He was looking into TV and stuff like that. So he was trying to get on all these things. And so, yeah, Eric Bischoff paid him a shitload of Uncle Ted's money.
Yeah.
And he brought Swole, who was this big jacked up
motherfucker.
And then an even bigger jacked up motherfucker, 4x4,
yeah,
who debuted earlier with Ahmed Johnson.
That's right.
When it was in that whole fucking
nightmare.
Battle for the T.
Yes.
Bullshit. But they still had him under contract. So or I think maybe this is where he was at first. And maybe he came back after that. Because I think this was 99. And then 2000 was the fucking Booker T thing. So maybe 4x4 came after. But these big jacked up motherfuckers. And then you had Conan and Rey Mysterio to do the work.
Yeah.
And it's awful. It's just awful. Like the whole thing was just hooty hoo. And it's just.
But he gave us that song. So, Kendall Windham's career, solid.
Yes, solid. I would give it a solid C+.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. B- maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, he's better than Mike Sanders.
He did. He played bass, I think.
I believe so. Yes, yeah. I thought he was on the Jug. Could be.
All right. Any other questions we got there?
Let's see.
Because I want to talk about something.
Okay. What would you like to talk about? The Miz?
Yeah.
Oh.
How'd you know?
I was just guessing.
No, seriously. probably the best thing on Raw, to me, was the Miz's backstage promo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, part of the problem with the Miz has been...
he's a cock-sucking motherfucker.
Well, that's not part of it. That was being actually probably closer to the whole problem.
Right.
But part of the problem with the Miz
the
has been...
The asshole problem.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
Even Dan in Portland says
so. I'm not a problem. I got 99 problems, and Addy ain't one. Aces and eights, though. Horrible Hogan promo. Anyway, The Miz.
I forgot what I was saying.
Okay. In the meantime, no, but I think I liked when he came back last week a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I didn't get to say too much, but I mean, when he was like, I'm the Marine, damn it.
Yes.
But I mean, I like the look with the sunglasses. He's got the hair spiked back up again as opposed to that slicked back.
Well, the thing is, as he gets older, he doesn't look quite so much. Like, one part of his problem was he didn't look tough. As he gets older and he gets a little more grizzled, he actually looks a little tough.
He can pull off a tough wuss, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, a wrestling wuss, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, the look that he's got is more reminiscent of his you know, Miz and Morrison,
yes.
You know, that kind of when he was
good. And he's carrying himself like a star again.
Yes.
And we've, I mean, it's easy to forget. I mean, this is a guy who, we talk about the shitty booking as champion of Daniel Bryan or Rey Mysterio. His booking as champion was as bad as any of them. He gets the belt, then he turns around and
he beat Morrison on that New Year's Day Raw.
On the Raw. And a match that people wanted on pay-per-view were disappointed was on Raw.
Yes.
Because then, it meant that these guys weren't really going to be elevated.
Then he fought Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't do exactly well against Lawler. And so, I mean, he was horribly booked. And then he comes out of that and he's jobbing.
Yeah.
And two things happened. He stopped caring. And they tried to turn him babyface. It was poorly handled. He didn't really understand the psychology of it.
Yeah.
A few times, like this thing, there was that thing in front of his dad with Orton. You could have turned that into something, and you didn't.
Yeah.
Like you booked him so bad consistently. But the other thing, he stopped caring, and his promos just began to be the sick. Like we forget that there was a point there. Remember where he came out right after he broke up with Morrison, and he comes out, and the first thing he says is, "Different music, different look, same mouth," right? And then he starts cutting a promo. I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. And he's cutting all these great promos. Remember when he was coming out week after week challenging Cena?
Yes.
And Cena would come out and beat the shit out of him?
Yes.
But he would spin it like he won?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he started to get momentum.
Yes.
His mic work was great. And we were both fans of him at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And At that point,
he won. I believe he won the Observer Award for Most Improved 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and at that point, Jim Ross said, "Trust me, within two." And Jim Ross knows more about evaluating talent than I ever could. Said, "Trust me, within 2 years, this guy's gonna be main eventing at WrestleMania." He was like 8 months later. It was probably too early, in fact, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
But his mic work was really good. So when he started just saying the same thing, like, "I've main evented WrestleMania," he would say it every time. He said nothing new. And he just started to stop caring. You forget that, like, he has certain skills.
Yes.
They, you know, and what I'm seeing with this really good promo backstage, and it wasn't just the Johnny Russo line, though that was hilarious.
That was
the
whole, awesome.
The whole promo was good. I'm like, okay, this is closer to when I liked him. I'm not saying he should be a main eventer, but this is an act that can be
rebuilt.
Rebuilt and can be useful on the show.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is a guy.
I love the fucking jacket when he came out too, like the
that like white
it was black and like silver buttons.
Oh, yes, that one. I was thinking of the one last. But
oh, you meant last week. Yeah. I meant this week for his ring entrance against Jericho.
But
that was great.
I just think
he's carrying himself like a star again.
Yes, he is. And
like, for a while, he carried himself like a star, even when he was a jobber. And now he's carrying himself like a star again. Because he started carrying himself like a jobber.
The thing is, now you've got to actually capitalize on this, and this is where we talk about...
like having him lose in 5 minutes to Jericho doesn't do it?
Well...
because he gets punched in the face, which is the gimmick of Tyler Breeze, which kind of fucks him over.
Yeah.
Prince Pity down there. Who already has a lot of the same qualities.
Yeah.
Both negative and positive.
But I think...
probably less positive.
Yeah, the fact that he... and especially when you heard that Jericho and Miz tore the house down in Toronto on the house show.
Yeah, apparently they're having great house show. And apparently Miz has been having on the road last 3 weeks or so against Ziggler wicked matches.
Yeah, and then...
and then this.
And this. And I mean, but this... because this was... I mean, this could be a blip again.
Yeah.
If you just go with him beating the Kofis and beating the Zigglers and beat, again, those guys and keep them away. I understand Jericho gets the win because he's fighting Bray Wyatt, and that's more important.
Yes.
It's currently more important than the rebuild of
the
Miz. But...
it's the way they did it.
It is the way they did it, exactly. Because I was expecting this, especially since it was an announced match next week, blah, blah, blah. I was expecting it because Raw's been having... 20-minute, you know, 15-minute matches.
Yeah.
A couple of them, right, to build that 3 hours. I was expecting this to go, you know, yeah, like 15.
I actually thought, Jesus, did the Usos against the Wyatt family go long? And is this getting cut?
Yeah.
You know? Because that match went forever.
It did. And that's possible, actually.
Yeah.
Something
happened like that.
It may have, that their time got cut somehow, because... I mean, I just don't, and it's fine, whatever, it's done, the right guy won, it's the whole thing, but it's, and even if the way that it happened, I mean, if you can keep going with Miz on the mic, and he can get past this.
Yes.
Right? And, but I mean, again, he's got to go and he's got to be beating the Kofis and the Zigglers and the Del Rios and the fucking Heath Slaters and all those guys. He's got to get
him some wins. Not against top-level companies.
Sin Cara.
But just get him some wins against Sin Cara and these guys, right? And then, and let him talk now that he's motivated, and because he can, and he has something fresh.
Yeah.
And see how the crowd reacts. And then, you know,
I mean,
go from there.
And the thing is with this, is you can take this as far as you want it if you want to give him momentum, right?
Yes.
I mean, give him momentum. I mean, you can, and it's great, and if they keep this going, if this is a regular thing, I like the fact that if they keep this Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and it can mean something, then that's a guy where, okay...
I don't get that sense, but... I mean, I wish they would, but I don't get that sense.
I'm just saying that you could take that, and he could be the winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that gives him something like, okay, well, who's... It takes it away then from, you got to find Miz a match, to Miz is in this, but he's going to win.
Oh, speaking of which, did we see what happened with Rusev and Reigns?
Reigns won by disqualification due to Randy Orton interference.
And how long did it go or anything like that?
It doesn't say, no.
Okay. What about the last man standing match that was on main event tonight for the U.S. title, Del Rio and Sheamus? I'm guessing Sheamus won. Just because their match on SmackDown was really good, like 3.5 stars.
Sheamus retains the title against Del Rio.
Okay. I'm hearing ADR is not long for the company.
No, and he's old.
Well, he is. You just look at him.
Well, there's a highlight reel with Bret Hart.
Yes, Bret Hart. Yes.
On the highlight reel.
Yes.
On main event.
Yeah, on main event. Well, I thought it was on SmackDown.
No, it's on main event, so I'll watch main event.
I'll watch main event this week. And I'm also curious about Last Man Standing. Like I say, they had a very good match. So let's talk about the other thing I want to talk about here is the big match they're building towards. John Cena versus Roman Reigns, one-on-one. At SummerSlam, right?
John Cena. Oh, this would be good. Sorry, I was reading this. Jericho asked Bret Hart about his greatest rivals. Mm-hmm. Mr. Perfect, Owen, Steve Austin, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels.
British Bulldog.
And then Shawn comes out.
Really?
Seriously. And British Bulldog. No, sorry. It was the Heartbreak Sandow.
You know, when Bret Hart, like, I understood Sandow coming out and wrestling like him. The part to me that was the subtle jab at Bret that wasn't needed was he came out as 1980s, 1990s Bret.
Yeah.
But with the long gray hair.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, fuck, he shouldn't have that. He should have the black, like.
Yeah, the jet black hair.
That's one of those things where you're just like, that's just like that cruel Vince McMahon sense of humor that Triple H shares too.
But, you know, I and think about this. Like, I started watching wrestling about 1983, 84 is when I first started watching wrestling.
Somewhere around there. Me too, about then.
And if I had started watching wrestling in 1984.
Maybe 82.
And they were talking.
Maybe 85.
And they were talking about an angle.
Maybe 80.
That happened 17 years ago.
Yes.
That would be an angle that happened in 1967.
But this is different. This is an angle that has always been on TV, has always been talked about, and is always going to be part of the lore and legacy.
It's like,
you know what? I didn't see... Whenever I started watching wrestling, I didn't know anything about Jimmy Snuka and Don Morocco.
Right.
But it still meant something because it was part of the lore. It was still part of the lore when it was like 14 years later when Mick Foley used it. And it still works. But so, I mean, I don't think that's an issue.
But Argentina Raka wasn't part of the lore when I started watching wrestling.
No. But if somebody started watching in 1998, and it was and
all I'm
1983,
saying,
1984, 14, 15 years ago, and they were talking about that angle because of the placement of that angle in history. Yeah. It would work, so I don't think that's an issue.
Not this.
I just think they ought to let it go just because, fuck, we're
not
done with
this
it.
Coming November, but the November next, mm-hmm. 2015. The Montreal Screwjob comes to Calgary here, is old enough to drink. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying, I don't know that I'd say that's why. I think it's more just it's done to death and we're sick of it, but.
Well, there is that too. But it's, I mean, this. Look at the angle.
What city is this in?
Look
this,
at the
this,
angle, though.
Where are they
look at the angle.
I know.
So old.
It's so old.
They're in Ottawa.
Yeah. And you know what? Not only that, but he made everybody believe it was real.
It's still real to me, damn it.
So let's get back to it. The SummerSlam main event, obviously, from the build on Raw. Because, I mean, hey, such a good job building the pay-per-view on Raw.
Yes.
Why the fuck is the Authority on vacation? Weren't they on vacation like 2 months ago? Remember?
Well, why they would not... Why wouldn't they be on vacation?
No, seriously, they were on vacation like 2 months ago. There was a show where they weren't there.
It was in England.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when it was in England. It's like whenever they leave the country.
They can't travel across the border?
They're not allowed to leave the country.
So they're on vacation. Randy Orton 2-3 weeks ago when he was on vacation? Unlike when Randy Orton was on vacation, I don't think Triple H tweeted out a picture saying he's on vacation with a pot pipe
with a bong.
With a bong right next to him.
Yes.
Fucking dolt, Randy Orton. Hey, Randy Orton, 2 strikes? No, 0 strikes. You're Randy Orton.
Yes.
We're not going to suspend you. You're a main eventer.
He is
what a about Randy Orton beating Dean Ambrose?
Nah. Again. Nothing means anything.
The way I look at it is, I'm looking at who's a main eventer. Randy Orton's a main eventer.
Yeah.
John Cena's a main eventer. Roman Reigns is a main eventer. Kane is a main eventer, like it or not.
Fucking hate Kane.
Rollins is a main eventer. Ambrose is an upper mid-carder. Bray Wyatt's an upper mid-carder.
Yeah. Jericho is an upper mid-carder.
Yeah, so these are the guys that lose to the main eventers. That's it. That's the way it is. So, like it or not, that's the way it is right now.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to it. Everything on Raw is leading to Reigns and Cena.
Yeah. I know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Everything was leading to that. From his promo in the beginning.
No.
To their confrontation. From Reigns' promo in the ring at the beginning. Where I don't know if he went off script or not when he said that's right. Damn right. Cena sucks and Roman Reigns is in the house.
I'm pretty sure that was off script, yeah.
But that to their backstage.
Yeah.
To Holmes. Their homes. You're fucking stupid. I hate you, Cena. Why does he sound like he's
gay?
Well, yeah. Why does he talk like y'all? Like, he sounds like he's from the South, and then he also sounds like he's a rapper.
I know.
And I loved it when Triple H made fun of that, actually, like a week and a half ago.
He's from West Newbury, Massachusetts.
So Triple H was making fun of that. That was great.
And then
afterwards, in the ring, is this just to build the four-way? Because it feels like it's building to a one-on-one confrontation.
This seems to me, the way I read this, is that they were teasing tension that will lead to respect, and we're going to have the Cena powers.
I guess.
This is your babyface team.
It's possible.
The Cena powers. And then eventually the Cena powers can explode.
Well, I mean, this is why Rollins came in. Orton said, I don't like you. And then Kane says, I don't like you. Because you gotta have teams that don't get along.
Yeah. Well, so Rollins is just a kid.
So they hired...
I don't like that kid.
He's 27.
Yeah. He's just a kid. In a row?
Mm-hmm. They hired Russo again. Partners that just can't get along.
That's Joey Russo.
Johnny
Russo. But I just, yeah, it was very strange. It's strange. I mean, we're strapping a rocket to Roman Reigns, which is fine.
But this seems like this is the money match right yeah. now, the way they're building it.
Well, I think it's got to happen.
It's got to happen sooner rather than later. After Cena loses to. After Cena loses to Lesnar,
right?
I think, isn't Cena Reigns something you can do if you don't have a pay-per-view world title match that is a
yeah,
a main event a for quote a pay-per-view unquote
dream match?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You could do that. You could do that. But again, yeah. I mean, here it is, though. I mean, apparently Lesnar has agreed to work the Night of Champions
yes.
show. Yeah. So they are going to have all the titles defended as they promote on that.
Because it is Night of Champions.
Yes. You know. And then you're going to go to the Hell in the Cell
mm-hmm.
after that, right? So you don't do Reigns. I mean, again, do you just need one? You need a hook for Hell in the Cell is what you need.
And is it finally Rollins versus Reigns in the Hell in the Cell? Is that enough? Like... Again, I don't know how long the way they're doing it, even though that Lesnar's going to have the title until Reigns gets it at Mania, does that mean you don't, until Reigns gets the title, you don't have him as Cena? Because you're building towards it right now.
You are, and that's what I don't...
And the other thing is, this is what I'm going to bring up. We bring this up, it seems, every 6 months on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again. Is with Reigns...
Cena heel?
And Ambrose. And... What's that?
Daniel Bryan.
And Daniel Bryan, when he comes back.
Yeah.
Is there's always been, we don't have the guy who's the guy, so we can't
yeah.
we can't turn Cena. Now can you do it? Is now the time? Is now you have three fucking guys. Whereas maybe you had one and probably zero for the last 12 years or whatever.
So you're saying...
10 years. Now you have...
What you're saying is with all these guys in front of him, with Cena, all these guys in front of Cena, Reigns and Ambrose and Bryan... That really you can't see him. The time is now.
But is it? Is it?
No. I tell you when the time is
Cena Sunday has to turn on Reigns, I think, to maximize yeah. this.
And I think Cena
after Cena powers explodes or mega
the mega Cena's What the fuck?
I don't know.
The mega homos? Well,
the super...
The super dicks.
Well, we have one guy's a Superman sponge. Another one's Super Cena. So the super... True. Yeah, the super dicks. I like it.
Yeah. The super dicks. Well, no, we already had the super dicks, so we have to come up with a more creative name of
something
this.
Else. Yeah. The super cocksuckers?
No, the Miz isn't involved.
Oh, no. And neither is it. And it's not... It can't be the super dicksuckers.
It's not a TNA
it's
guy.
It's not a TNA angle.
But I think... How I would do it if I was booking it, I think, I don't want to say is the time now. The time is now to get it set for the time to be now. Whatever, I don't know when the day of WrestleMania, but the Raw after.
Yes.
That's when I do it. The Raw after WrestleMania.
Could be. After, it might be the right time. It's like, oh, wow.
That's how it closes. Title. That's how Raw closes.
He won the title from,
yeah.
From Lesnar. And then Cena turns heel.
Yeah.
Fucking huge. Yeah. And you know what? People actually might cheer Cena for once because he did something. Finally showed some gumption. That's why I hate Cena versus, like, we didn't have it this week because there was no authority. And you know what pissed me off about that was, I know you fucking fired Brad Maddox.
Yeah.
And Teddy Long.
And Vicky.
And Vicky. For one night, couldn't you just haul out John Laurinaitis?
Yeah.
Just say, I'm here to represent the authority.
People power.
Yes, yeah. One fucking night. Yeah. But just to continue the storylines, because you didn't advance hardly any storylines because of this. But when John Cena's standing up the week before, always defiant, as Michael Cole said against the authority, the guy that has been the face of the company, that is on all the merchandise, that is on all the talk shows, that has won the title 15 times.
The greatest champion in the history of
wrestling. The idea that this guy's defiant against... is so much bullshit. Nobody buys it, and it makes you hate him more.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think...
He's not defiant. John Cena has never come across as defiant. John Cena had the angle against the authority figure. Angle. Against Kurt Angle. Against Eric Bischoff. Against John Laurinaitis. Against Vince McMahon. Against Vicky Guerrero. This is like the sixth fucking authority angle he's had.
Yeah.
So talk about repeating yourself. Plus... He seems like a kiss-ass. Nobody believes that he's anti-authority ever.
No, exactly. If anything, he's the company poster boy.
Yes.
Right? And
this is so fucking stupid.
But
if he turns, I like that. Right the night after WrestleMania.
That's,
he turns on his friend.
Because I think you do. I mean...
Money.
I think you've got... you've got Brian, and you've got... you've got... All three members of the Shield, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have Ambrose and Reigns as the baby faces, but then you also have...
I think Ambrose is still getting a better reaction than Reigns.
Well...
Both are getting a good one.
I think that Ambrose, though, is being... Right now, I could argue that he's being booked better than Reigns.
Maybe.
Because this element of surprise, this show up and ruin the cash-in... thing that I don't know, you never know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, I'm going to come out and get you. That is over like Rover. I mean, look at the Money in the Bank even, when he comes in.
It's very Steve Austin again.
It is, exactly.
And the only thing is that the announcers, they started the match against Randy Orton talking about the shoulder and how he hasn't healed.
Yeah.
They should have played into it more at the end. He was the valiant babyface. He's really more hurt than any of you knew. He fought that hard against, but he lost anyways because of that shoulder injury. The announcers didn't do a good enough job selling that. But other than that, other issues.
But I mean, I look at things coming out, come back every 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's time for the anti-authority thing again, you know, in a different
twist. Well,
we haven't
seen it since.
No, but... could work, right? I mean, it could be a different twist.
The thing is, we've seen it over and over again, but we've never seen it with the right character.
We haven't. I mean, Daniel Bryan, to a certain degree, was, because
was different.
The story of the underdog, yeah.
The underdog is not the same as
the
anti-hero.
That's true. But, I think you definitely could do Cena heel that at that point, I think.
I think it would be money.
Yeah, and I mean, then you got Bray Wyatt waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. You've got
lots
you
of
know,
stuff. Yeah,
who knows where you know Devitt and Steen and those guys will be?
Yeah.
You know,
Sami Zayn. I mean, I think Sami Zayn's ability to become a babyface, top tier babyface, and who knows, maybe they can actually make something what's his name, Bad News Barrett or Cesaro still.
Well, Bad News Barrett, unfortunately, I don't think so.
You think this is
injury number three? This is major injury number three. It's just, you know,
they tend to give up on a guy when he's well, I mean,
when do you, I mean, look at Mark Henry. I mean, he stayed around forever, but he was always hurt.
Yeah.
And I mean, eventually they gave him a push because they didn't have anybody else. But
and he did incredibly well, and oh, he did. They did nothing.
But bad news, Barrett could do incredibly well as well. I have no doubt. But when you got that, you put a belt on a guy that could that's China doll, right? I mean, like, what do you do?
Are they setting up Bo Dallas against Daniel Bryan for this comeback? Just one night? Just
as to the have first that match back?
Remember, they'll do that, right? They have the first match back, he beats the guy, and then he goes on to the Zactyl resuming his chase. Like, we've seen that before with guys going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can't think of one, but we've seen that before.
I just would have thought, well, I mean, Austin came in and had his thing with The Rock, right? When he came back, he fought originally. In 1997, actually. he went through The Rock before he went on to get the belt.
Yeah.
You know, you had... There's been some
other ones. I just wish I could think of.
It's usually on that February.
It's usually that just one match.
Yeah.
Just one blow off, like one destroy them.
Yeah.
Just destroy the match.
I think Owen Hart. I think Owen Hart was the victim of a couple of those too.
Yeah.
Like maybe Diesel or Shawn. Yeah, Shawn Michaels actually, when Shawn came back after the Enziguri.
But the difference was that's the guy who put him out. I'm talking with a guy who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Who though just starts talking shit. They come back in that first night. I mean, it's almost like.
Well, Steve Austin and Bret Hart, for God's sakes. Bret Hart comes back, fights Steve Austin, moves on.
That was designed to elevate Steve Austin.
Yeah, but it was also designed for Bret to then move on to something else.
It was, but I'm talking about somebody who's like going to destroy him. Remember when Austin came back and destroyed Bischoff? I'm almost being more like that. You know, and it has happened. I wish I could.
Diesel came back and destroyed Owen as well.
That's true.
And moved on, right?
Yeah.
But, they haven't done it in a while, though.
But it is a traditional thing that they've done.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Warrior coming back and destroying Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, before moving on.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, he's not really here for this, but it's a good way to reintroduce him. And I wonder if that's what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. He'll come back, he'll beat, even be on Raw, might not even be on a SmackDown.
I thought maybe they would do it on Raw.
Chavo Guerrero and Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
Like how they just, like he was talking shit about him. Just so they could have one match on SmackDown.
His debut, and then
And he destroyed Chavo and get him over.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at... I can't think of another...
No, I know.
I can't think of another one. No.
You try to think, but it happens.
Kane, though. To me, it was Brian and Kane, right? It was still the thing where Brian...
Well, that's it, exactly. Kane. So he beats Bo Dallas. It could, like I say, even be on Raw, and then you have to... have that one match.
See, I was
like
hoping
Kane is right now a main eventer still. If you look at it, he's placed as a main eventer.
Oh, yeah.
He's placed higher than Dean Ambrose.
He's in the Fatal 4-Way.
He's placed higher than Bray Wyatt. It's not just in the Fatal 4-Way. He would have been in the world title match if Daniel Bryan was healthy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a main eventer.
Kane's a dick.
Does he suck?
Fuck, I hate Kane. I do. I really, I mean, like...
I think it's just played out again.
It is.
It's time for him to retire.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, that authority gimmick deal, fine.
At least it was fresh, though. I didn't like him in the main event with it.
I liked Libertarian Kane. It was a different spin on Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, now, and then that's the other part of it, too. We just saw Libertarian Kane, and now we're seeing the Demon Kane.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Stupid.
And then he wouldn't say anything for weeks. Then he finally talks, and what does he say? I don't like you.
Yeah.
To Randy Orton. Like,
yeah, I don't like you either, so whatever, yeah. Whatever. And when did his voice
not
box...
Not as much as I don't like you.
When did his voice box heal?
Yeah. Fucking Xbox. Fucking Xbox.
When's he coming back?
I think Damien Sandow could do a good Xbox. All right, let's. I think we're done, right?
Because he sucks. I think we're done. I think that's it. I think we covered.
We had
all
a couple people on iTunes who rated us, and it jumped us way up the rankings.
Yes,
one or two more. Seriously, go in, hit 5 stars, because obviously, what else would it be?
Like a frog splash.
Yeah, and just write something like, "Thanks for putting on a good show." Literally, I'm not even asking you for 30 seconds of your life. If you use iTunes, it's really mean a lot to us.
It does, actually, and so that would be excellent. Any long-time listeners or new listeners...
If you use iTunes, I know it's probably something you don't think of much, and and it seems like it's something. But I didn't really. It's. It, I mean, there's got to be people out there. We know there's iTunes listeners.
Yes.
So, or your regular subscribers, and like it's great. We really appreciate it. But yeah, if you would do that, if you would please, you know,
this is our
give us a little bit back.
This is our iTunes
that's
call to action campaign.
That's right.
That's right.
And remember, if you do it, I'll fuck you.
Oh, well, there goes our chances. All right. Well, we mentioned iTunes. You can go on iTunes and watch. You can go to Stitcher as well and TuneIn Radio app.
There's ways to subscribe to those ways, too, if you're not on iTunes.
This is true.
Great way to subscribe.
WeTalkWrestling.com is our website. You can subscribe to the feed there as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Sign up. We'll send an email. It'll automatically do it for us. Within 24 hours, we'll send an email. Our new show goes up, like, today when it's a day
going
early.
Up. Yes.
A couple days early.
I guess, yeah. Addy, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. You can email us. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter as well. We got some more Twitter questions we never got
actually,
to.
Actually, let's answer one. Fuck it.
Okay.
Before we go ET, let's answer one.
Okay. Do you have it here or should
no,
I?
No, you find it.
Okay.
What am I? Your bitch?
Yeah, okay, you find it.
Oh, okay. I'll find it.
What do we got here? Here it is.
Anyways, I'm scrolling down. ADDIE.
Yeah, sorry, at WeTalkWrestling.com. And then we also have at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter and Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. So lots of good shit to see.
And hey, you know what? At WeTalkPodcasts, follow that on Twitter too if you want another account. Also tweets out some of the shit and other stuff and everything. Yeah.
That's right.
That's fucking right.
That is some fucking rightness.
Okay,
right. Here we go. This is a dated one here. Sorry, I'm just going to... Because this is before, what do we think?
Way to ruin the show.
Yeah, well, you're the one that...
Well, you said we had them.
Say, do you think that on a coming SmackDown, or on the coming SmackDown, or on Raw next week, that WWE should fit the Santino Marella retirement speech on an episode of the television?
No.
No. Would we put it on the network? On a main event on the network or something? Yeah. You know, on that main event show? No.
Actually, on a main event would be fine, but I just don't think you use something that, well, maybe you
superstars.
Do something like that. You know what I would actually do? If you could have a countdown to Vicky, I would have a countdown of the best moments of Santino, and maybe you could put it in there. But the thing is, it's not obviously something they're focusing on. I don't know that it's something he wants focused on either. That's why I think he did it house show in Toronto, you know, home city.
Yeah, no, I would see that, I would tend to agree with that. I mean, they have footage. If they want to use it, they can use it. But I don't
not
see
great
what
quality, but
yeah, and I don't see what purpose it really serves, no. To be honest. So, all right, well, that's going to be it. So,
but thanks for the memory, Santino. Thanks for the
memory. Arrivederci.
Pizza.
Pizza. Dina Martin.
All right. What is your what was that your Iron Sheik?
No, that was my Italian guy. Who's the Italian guy? Paul Roma.
Oh. All right. We're done.
All right. That's it. So, in the meantime, and
hey,
in between
time. Are we doing a show at regular time next week?
I don't know.
Okay. Probably not then.
Probably. I don't know what's happening, to be honest. What is next week?
So we are warning people. We don't know what's happening because you're getting married.
Yes.
I'm still trying
month.
To talk. They measured me today.
They did.
For my suit for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you? What was your waistline again?
27.
Yeah. Feet, right?
All right, we're done.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Am I going to say something here?
I don't know. Something fucking stupid, probably. Be a cocksucker.